And what do you do for Christmas night? Do you do a dinner that night, or do you just kind of nosh?
My sister does. Like, she'll do a dinner. She'll do, like, you know, like a macaroni. She'll do, I think, a ham.
Oh, a ham?
And then she'll do some, like, a pasta, like a monogatari.
Get all the cousins together and everything.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a, it's very laid back and...
Kind of buffet style? Eat as you please?
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so no...
I'll watch basketball all day.
You're not doing grace in the whole thing?
You may do a grace.
Okay.
And then disperse.
For the departed?
Yes, I'll be in the other room watching the basketball.
With a cocktail in hand?
Yeah, exactly.
Safe bet?
Exactly. It's very safe.
I'm just looking for the safe bet this week.
Well,
cocktail in hand?
Yes, that's very safe.
And some vino this weekend for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Starting today, actually.
Yes, we will have some today. We'll have a lot, thanks to our friends at Treasury Wine.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to let's talk to Jason in Newtown. He joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Jay?
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, brother?
I just had a thought, like, you know, if we don't end up getting Harper and we don't get Machado, and I'd be more than happy with either one of them, you know, do you think behind closed doors they're talking anything about trying to acquire Trout via trade?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't see the Angels giving up Mike Trout. I don't know why they would.
But, you know, like, if Trout's going to walk potentially after 2 years, then wouldn't they want to get something?
Nah, they're not trading. They're not trading Mike Trout. I know they're not trading Mike Trout. And the Phillies don't have anything to offer him.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I'm just trying to be, wishful thinking.
I know, brother. Listen, he would be it. If we could get Mike Trout, it would be the best. But
yeah, I mean, I'd rather get a guy that you know would want to be here. I'm not sure. Even if we, you know, roll out all the money to Machado and Harper, do they really want to be in Philly?
He wants to be here, Jay? It's a really hard situation for him because he's from here. And he would be looked at to be this savior. And that's a lot of pressure on a guy who's from here. And from what I understand in talking to some people, that he likes that bubble out there in Anaheim.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
A little off the radar, you know, not a lot of pressure. I mean, if he came here, that's a lot to put on him. I'd love that. Believe me, I'd love to have him because I think he's a sensational talent. I'd like to just get him on the East Coast so we could see him more.
Yeah, I mean, if it happens, I'll call you guys back. But
I hope
holidays.
So.
Well, you too, my brother. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
I hope to hear from you. I mean, that's the thing is, we all make this leap. Why? Because he goes to Eagle games and he's friends with Carson Wentz and they hunt together in a duck blind.
Yeah, I mean, I would too.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I hope he would want to come home.
You wouldn't want to?
I would hope he would want to come home.
Oh yeah, and maybe he does at some point. But he's going to be looked at now.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, quite frankly, I get it. I don't know this. You said you heard it, but if he feels better in the bubble, I would understand it. But you come home here, you're the conquering hero.
But you better conquer.
He's a great player. It's not like he's not
great though.
What
do they conquer in Anaheim though? It's okay. About winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think the fan base. Is he going to blame Mike Trout if they don't win?
If he's putting up numbers, you're right. I agree.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, he's Mickey Mantle. He's like literally the reincarnation of Mickey Mantle. He's the best player in baseball.
In decades.
He does everything. He's literally Mickey Mantle come back to life.
He's probably the best player in baseball. Well, he hasn't played in 20 years, right?
Well, I mean, the best hitter was Bonds, but Mike is literally enough said when I say he's Mickey Mantle.
Yeah,
I mean that's it.
Yeah, historic.
Here's my point on this Trout thing. He could eventually end up being statistically the best position baseball player in the history of the league. Like, it's possible that he could be.
Yes.
So when everybody says, "Well, let's trade for Trout" or "Let's wait for Trout to walk." This is just me and you talking. People that don't really study the game as much as GMs do. You think they would just let him walk the Angels? He could be the best player in the history of the game. They're not just going to let him walk.
Right.
Ruth got traded.
Who?
The Babe played.
Well, that's because the guy had to fund his, you know, Broadway play.
Yeah. Look, anybody can be traded
by
in
you.
Any sport.
It's good knowledge by you.
When Wayne Gretzky got traded, any player can be traded in any sport. But you're right, Andrew. Why would they willfully let him go?
Yeah, who knows? You know, maybe he does become a free agent and wants to come here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only way he leaves the Angels, I think, is if he wants to come home and says, hey, look, I'm gonna go and give it a shot and play in Philly.
Play in front of my family.
The Phillies will match any money. So it's like telling the Angels, like, here, you know, it's not about the money because he'll get paid by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a matter of where does he want to play.
And then you end up working out a trade anyway, so the Angels don't walk away with nothing. And you do that prior.
Maybe. You know, that's possible.
Just to grab him a little.
But, like, you know, if you're Mike Trout, you get to pick where you want to be.
Yeah, you earn free agency.
Because the money's going to be there mm-hmm. from everyone. And you get to pick where you want to go.
It is crazy.
So I don't know. I mean, like, to me, I would hope he wanted to, you know what? Let me go play for my boyhood team.
Yeah. Hang out with Carson.
That'd be awesome.
Carson come to my games. I go to his. And let's go pathetic. Let's go to Sam in Seattle right now. Is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Sammy.
Good.
You know what's got me riled up, Anthony? You were in that business, right? You were a writer, right? You covered a team. You worked for a beat. I'm not saying everybody, but nowadays with the social media, these black people, that because Philadelphia is a big market, and all these fans are so active on stuff like Twitter, they just throw stuff against the wall, and like it's just, and then at the end of the whole process, it comes out that Philly never were close, or they never had a shot at that certain player, but the whole time we're told that we were, you know, we're one of the teams. Like,
it's,
I know,
like LeBron.
Sal Powell doesn't need me. Like, yeah, like Sal Powell doesn't need me. He's a big shot. He's been doing this all his life. But the whole do the deal and the whole Mariota thing came out. We were never close to that BS.
And it was funny. I remember starting on the station right around then, and I kept saying, no.
You did. And then a lot of people were saying that. And then the whole LeBron thing, too. Now we really did find out, right? It was never really close, dude.
No.
He was going to the Lakers years ago, right? And yep. Same thing with this. And Buster's one of the main guys in baseball. So I get that. But I'm not talking about these big shots that we all know of. I'm talking about these black boys, like these black people with like 20 followers. They just throw stuff against the wall.
Well, why don't even give them any credence, Sam? Why would you give them somebody?
But we
got to earn your respect.
We're talking about on the station. All these people I just mentioned, none of them are in Philly right now. Why?
All right, the report came out today, Sam, from John Heyman, who's very respected.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about these couple of guys that we all know of, the respected. You're right.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
well, look, here's the deal, Sammy. They gotta earn your click. They gotta earn your click. And they gotta do that through time of being right. You know? Gotta earn the click.
Yeah.
Can't just give them the click.
Yeah.
You know? And there's clickbait.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, those guys are talking to agents and GMs around the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're incredible reporters. I mean, I know both Buster, I know John. Those guys are good reporters. But, you know, you're getting your information from an agent.
Yeah.
You're getting your information
so
from
motivation.
A GM from another team. That's where you're getting all your stuff.
You always have to, when you get information, you have to consider the motivation. Why am I getting this information from this person? And that helps you. A good report that helps them decipher what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
You know, and because there's always a motivation. Nobody just does it out of the goodness of their heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's and if it's coming from Bryce Harper's agent, it's coming out that the Phillies aren't interested. Well, why? Because he wants the Phillies to step up with more money? That could be one maybe possible end game to that.
Well, you're talking about, you know, it's funny. There's a motivation. There is this. I remember a time I was a young reporter, so. Bobby Valentine, who he and I never got along, but Bobby Valentine told me the Mets were hot after Barry Bonds.
Wow.
And he's like, he's off the record, man, you know, and begging me to write it.
Mm-hmm. Without saying it?
No. Obviously,
no, without asking you to write it, yeah.
No, but he was begging me. He wanted me to write it.
Yeah.
He called me out of the blue and was like, dude. You know, I hear we're going after Barry. So then I checked around. I'm like, I don't hear it. And I call him back. I go, dude, I don't think so. He's like, I'm telling you. So I write it. Because first of all, you know, it's a bit salacious story.
Mm-hmm.
Back page and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting Barry Bonds.
He just wanted to put it out.
Because he wanted to put pressure on the front office to get Bonds, but they didn't have the money to pay him.
It's a malicious intent.
I understand it from his perspective. He's like, we need an outfield, we need a power hitter.
Yeah. But he was getting something out of it, saying that to you.
I mean, they talked about him. It was true.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't an out and out lie. It was true that they talked about him, but they hadn't moved, and it wasn't serious. He basically said it was more serious than it was.
Mm-hmm. See, and sometimes the validation of a report doesn't come for time. It doesn't work on our schedule or your schedule or somebody else's schedule. It takes time for full validation on reports sometimes. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. We're live at Ralph's on 9th Street. And Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
On last night.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, he'll join us at 12:30. Talk everything Eagles. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
O'clock hour brought to you by Tropicana Atlantic City. Celebrate New Year's Eve with dazzling fireworks on the Tropicana Boardwalk. For more info, visit Tropicana.net. Welcome back. Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano, live at Ralph's Italian Restaurant on 9th Street. Having a great time here. It's beautiful. Get some diners in for lunch.
That is a Christmas song.
Yeah.
It ain't that Paul McCartney Bobo with that weird organ.
I agree. You Johnny Mathis, man?
Come on.
Johnny Mathis, yes.
I was going to say. I don't even know you anymore, if not.
Yeah, man. Come on, dude. My mother loved Johnny Mathis.
Mine does as well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got a couple open lines. First time today. How about that? And I'm almost afraid to go to Rob because of the quote that's on there. Now, I want to do this, and I don't want to ruin these people's meal in here. So if I have to blitz them early, Ant, because I don't want to ruin the great food here at Ralph's on 9th Street, I will. But let's go to Rob. Rob, what's happening in North Philly?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all making out?
Hey, Rob.
It's Rob, R-O-Z. Listen,
that's what I said, Rob.
I just want to make this clear, because it seems like y'all forgetting what city y'all living in. We living in Philadelphia, right? This is a hard city. Why do y'all keep babying this quarterback, Carson Wentz, when he's done nothing for Philly? I got a question for y'all, right?
Who are you a fan of, Rob?
You make a statement. You make a statement. You got to answer for your statement.
What
do you mean about babying?
Y'all keep giving him all types of excuses. He's hurt. First of all, I don't even think he's hurt. I think it was something in the
inside. Oh, yeah, you're a doctor now, Dr. Rob.
Listen, hold up.
Dude, you make statements that are ridiculous.
You sound like an idiot, Rob.
Listen to me.
Who are you a fan of?
He's a Cowboy fan.
Rob, are you a Cowboy fan? Own up to it. I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to ask the question again. Because I'm not going to have this yelling match where people are trying to eat their meal over here. Rob,
to sin for these
people. I know it is. Rob, who are you a fan of? Answer the question or I'll hang up on your rear end and like so quick you won't even know what happened. Who are you a fan of?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
No, you're not. You're full of crap. Get out of here.
What?
I'm done with you. Not ruining these people's meal anymore. Sorry about that, man. Enjoy the bread. Can we get another basket of bread over for them? He tainted their bread with that nonsense. Because we are babying him.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I don't understand that. If he's not hurt, but first of all, I didn't want to go into down this ridiculous road anymore.
Yeah,
about, you know, babying Wentz What has he done for Philadelphia? Dude, you don't win the Super Bowl if he's not the quarterback last year, all right? Because he got you home field throughout. So, be grateful, all right? Before you start calling him a bum, ripping the kid, give me a break, all right, Rob? You wouldn't have won the Super Bowl last year if Wentz wasn't the quarterback because you wouldn't have got home field throughout. That's that.
Andrew, do you have the cut from Dan Orlovsky? Okay. Dan Orlovsky was on this morning, and here's what he had to say about Nick Foles.
It's not a one-week thing. It's not a three-week thing. It's not an eight-week thing. It is a 16-week thing, year after year after year. I mean, the guys that can do it repetitively, those are the guys that are starters. And Nick Foles is equipped to be a really high-end backup. Could Nick Foles be the 28th best starter in the NFL? Probably. Yeah, he probably could be. So that's why he's more equipped to be a backup. He's not going to be the reason that the Eagles lose more often than not, but he's also not going to be the reason that the Eagles win. He's got to play that point guard type of brand of football.
So there you go. He could be like the 20, as he used the number, 28th ranked starting quarterback in the NFL. But he's not a 16-game starter. And you can cite the big games that he's won. But winning the game that's winning a very big battle, to put it in military terms. But could he win you an entire war if he started the entire season on a team that's good but not great? That's what a great quarterback does. He elevates the team from being a good team to a great team.
That's right.
It's just the reality of the situation.
But here's what I don't get. I don't get why you want to try to rip the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, again, did we at all today bring up Carson Wentz?
Not once.
All right? Didn't bring him up one time. We talked all about Eagles and Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Talked Phillies, free agents. Didn't bring up Carson Wentz once.
Yep. Because he's not playing this week.
So, Rob, that was an agenda call by you.
Mm-hmm. He's not an Eagles fan.
I think he was a Cowboys fan. I agree. I think he's on the cover.
He's a rat undercover Cowboy fan. All right. See, that's even a bigger violation.
I think Rob's on the cover. I do.
He's undercover. He's a stealth Cowboy fan?
I do. I believe that.
He's like a mole. Let's go to John in Delaware on the Fanatic. How you doing, John?
Hey, great. First time caller. Love you guys. Anthony, long time, 20 years or more. And also... just doing a great job. Jason, excellence. Yeah, man, you've come a long way from the producing with Mikey Miss. So anyway, props to both of you. Great time of the day, too.
Happy holidays.
Baseball question. If the Phillies could get Machado, but he has to play shortstop, would that be a deal breaker for the Phillies?
I don't think so, brother. I mean,
you move Segura to second and keep.
I think you could move him around. Now, I would prefer him to play third, obviously, but I don't think it's a deal breaker.
I like Franco's bat. I mean, he can hit 20 home runs, right? So you got 20 at third, you got 30, 35 at short.
Yeah.
That's a lot of power from your infield.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting, though? You know his name is not there if you have Segura, Machado, and Franco? Kingery.
So what? No, he's the utility, you know?
Yeah, super utility, plays the outfield sometimes. You know, I feel you.
Look at that pop in the infield.
It's the only reason why, John, that I don't think they go that route. Now, I'm with you. I would like that, but I don't think they would go there because I think they want Kingery to play every day.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. And a quick Sixers question. Anthony, if you were the GM, what do you do? Who do you bring in to get them over the top?
Man, Johnny, it's a great question, brother. It really is. It's a shame because Trevor Ariza went to Washington. He's been playing well. I mean, they got killed, and they're a bad team. However, I would love to bring in another, some three, you know, 2/3 wing player because they need a wing player. Now, The problem is I don't know what you had to give up.
Because Fultz has no value.
Right. I mean, there was some talk. And it's like your best value is that you can take on salary.
Okay.
So that's money. Yeah. That's where the hope lies. You're able to take on salary. You're able to get somebody that is going to be paid and a team doesn't want them.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, Kentavious Pope was a for.
Colo, yeah. You brought him up about 2 weeks ago.
Kentavious Colo Pope, yeah. He was a name was out there. I don't know. You give Carmelo Anthony a shot. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a problem, John.
You make it desperate.
It's a big problem that, you know, you're going to have to hope that there's some salary guys that just want to be moved and, you know, you get them for nothing, second round picks.
Anthony, in hindsight, the Bridges trade on the draft night to get Zaire. Now, we know what's going on with Zaire Smith and the food allergy, and it's real. I get it. But you could have used Bridges this year. Certainly, it gotten more out of him, not just because he's playing, but it was all designed, that trade, to get Kawhi, which didn't work. So that hurts them right now.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, I don't know.
You went for it.
Bridges wasn't going to. You tried to get Kawhi, and that was it, and Bridges is not going to help you. The problem more is, like, you needed Ilyasova. He got real money is an issue.
Yeah.
But, like, you miss Ilyasova, you miss Bellinelli. Like, yeah. Those guys, they help fill out your roster.
Yeah.
Like, I understand they might have too pronounced of a role, because Bellinelli doesn't play defense, mm-hmm. but he's a credible NBA player. There's a difference between when you have Bellinelli on the floor than Korkmaz.
Yeah. And the other thing is they fell out of a tree, both of those guys, last year.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to give up anything to get.
Well, that's what you got to hope happens again.
Yeah.
The tree falls again because it's a money tree.
No, no question about it. You know, the Eagles are playing Sunday. They're playing against the Houston Texans. They're a team right now. The Texans have won 10 of 11 games. And they're battling for some home field or maybe a bye in the playoffs as the season whittles down. I can't believe we're at the end of the season. And the Eagles need this game. They need the game against the Texans. So we got to go to the man. We talk to him every Thursday.
Yes.
And he always drops good knowledge on us. And let's talk to him right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia. You see him on Quick Slants. You see him on Eagles pre- and post-game live. Derek Gunn joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. D. Gunn, how you doing?
My brothers, happy holidays to both of you.
D. Gunn, looking good, man. Saw you last night.
Good to see you, Ant. Haven't seen you in years, man.
You look good, baby.
Likewise, my brother. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Well, D-Gun, big football game coming up on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field, where the home field advantage hasn't been this season quite what it's been in the past. And obviously the Eagles are coming off a win of epic proportions as a huge underdog. Can they carry that momentum that perhaps they got in that game against the Rams and bring it back home 3,000 miles and use it against the Houston Texans?
Yeah, you know, when we sized up these last three games, I thought the Rams game would be the biggest obstacle of the three. And they cleared that mountain. And that's not to overlook Houston, because this Houston team is an interesting team on both sides of the football. When they put it all together, I think they can play with just about anybody in the NFL. They have great talent on both sides of the football. But I think the one factor that the Eagles have in their favor is the fact that they went through this last year, overcoming adversity and beating the odds. And it was the us against them mentality. And this collection of Houston players haven't had to go through that yet. You know, you have to learn how to win before you win. You have to learn how to overcome adversity before you overcome the adversity. So I think having this game in their backyard is a decisive edge for the Eagles this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Dave, let me ask you about, when you look at this defense, and we were really kind of excited by the secondary because it played well. You know, you look at some of the young kids, and having Maddox back, I think, was a big deal. It's one of those things where what kind of shape do you think they're in? Can they hold up? You know, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the league. And they have some decent weapons. Can they hold up against it? I love Deshaun Watson. Can they hold up against them?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, we've watched these young guys grow up before our eyes. You know, just think, it wasn't more than just a couple of weeks ago, we were shredding Jim Schwartz and Corey Unland because it looked like the Keystone Cops playing back there on the back end of their defense. But, man, I tell you what, they played a whale of a game out in Los Angeles against a very talented Rams offense. And I believe they can do it again. I think that gives them a tremendous boost of confidence coming back home. And you're right, Ant. You know, it's a shame that when people talk about the top wide receivers in the game, that DeAndre Hopkins is not mentioned, because I think he is one of the top route runners in the game. I think he has the best, some of the best hands in the game. And I think he's the most acrobatic catcher I've seen in quite some time. I mean,
it's
one thing to catch spectacular passes, but the acrobatic nature that he catches a lot of his passes with is unbelievable. But
he's got great body control, the whole thing.
No question. No question. But I do think these kids on the back end of this defense can stand up to this this Houston offense. The biggest concern for me is keeping an eye on Deshaun Watson. Because, you know, quarterbacks take off and run like an Aaron Rodgers. They run just to pick up an X amount of yards. This kid can flat out run away from people. Man, he has that kind of speed. He has a great arm. He's completing almost 68% of his passes. But when he steps up to run, this kid can flat out run. And if you have one eye on a wide receiver and one eye on a quarterback, one or two things can happen. You take your eye off the wide receiver, all of a sudden he's open.
Yeah.
You take your eye off the quarterback, and next you know, he's running past you. So it's going to be interesting in terms of the discipline that this Eagles defense has this Sunday.
Yeah, it's my biggest worry. When it comes to the game, is that they haven't seen a quarterback like him.
He's so different.
And, you know, when you don't see a quarterback that's like, sometimes the defense can struggle a little bit.
Oh, there's no question about it, because he has that other dimension to an offense that you don't normally have to practice for. But the good thing is he moves around so much in the pack in the backfield is a significant reason why he's been sacked 52 times this year. You know, so hopefully, you know, he moves in the line of Fletcher Cox, or he moves in the line of Brandon Graham or Chris Long or Michael Bennett to help that defense out a whole lot.
Derek Gunn joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Quick Slants, and Eagles pre- and post-game live. Derek, let's flip it around to the other quarterback, and Nick Foles. You've been around the Eagles for a long time. You were along for the ride last year, and the magic that ensued all the way to the Super Bowl in Minnesota and the parade and everything else. He gets back in there under center last week, and they look like a far different team. What is it about the presence of Nick Foles that not only affected the offense, but affected the team in total, coaching and all the way through?
If I could ever handpick somebody to play poker for me, it would be a Nick Foles. His demeanor never changes. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low when he makes a mistake, and obviously he seldom makes a mistake. But if you look at the way he runs that offense, he spreads the ball a lot better than Carson Wentz does. You know, too many times I thought Carson Wentz would lock on to Zach Ertz. And obviously that's not a bad thing when you have a tight end the caliber of a Zach Ertz. But I think if you want to make a defense, you want to spread a defense out more, you want to keep a defense on its heels, you have to spread the wealth. And I think Nick Foles does a tremendous job of getting everybody involved in offense. And I can guarantee you one thing, Alshon Jeffrey is more than happy that Nick Foles is under center right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what's interesting? The pressure situation. How much do you think it is that Nick comes in and, you know, and again, it's kind of like house money where there's no pressure on you. You're not expected to beat the Rams. And you come out and he just plays calm and cool. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, I think he keeps the entire huddle calm and cool. And, you know, it's a great demeanor to have in a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Foles steps in there. Most of the guys in that offense were with him last year. So it's not like a significant step down like most of these teams across the NFL, where you go from a top-tier quarterback and all of a sudden you're going to get to a quarterback who's barely supposed to be in the league. I mean, this man stepped up last year and helped his organization win his first ever Super Bowl. So the guys around him have the utmost confidence in him. And because of the way he goes about handling his business, you know, he gets rid of the ball quick. He doesn't stand back there patting the ball and taking unnecessary sacks. That's a tremendous help in terms of making a transition when you go from quarterback A to quarterback B, because basically, you know, the offense changes slightly in terms of what they do, but the end results don't change, and that's being productive. And let's face it, I mean, we knew once Nick Foles did what he did against the Rams, we're going to hear this controversy about Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz. But let's face it, right now, Nick Foles has his offense moving. And you know what? I don't care if Carson is 100%. I say you have to go with the hot hand.
Yeah, that's been one thing we've been debating. Derek Gunn joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Derek, does pressure come into the equation for the Eagles now? Because we know they need to win out. We need Minnesota. They need a little help to get into the postseason. Anthony used the term house money. Is that house money scenario kind of out the window now? And there is some pressure because they are still the returning Super Bowl champions.
No question about it. And they blame nobody but themselves for the predicament they're in right now. But you know what? You go out and play your game. Is there pressure? Sure, there's pressure. Anytime you're still in a playoff scenario, there's pressure. But in this case, this team, a couple of weeks ago, after they lost to the Cowboys, everybody was going to leave them for dead. But they're still right here now. So you go out and play your game. You have a huge game against Houston in your backyard. The last game of the season is against a Washington team that no way I don't think Washington is going to win at Tennessee anyway this coming weekend. So, you know, everything's in your favor right now. If you win your two games, you sit back and you wait and see what happens where everything, you know, falls. You know, Seattle blew a chance to wrap up a spot last week. Now they've got to play Kansas City at home. Minnesota, I think, is going to beat Detroit. The only thing you better hope is that somehow the Cardinals upset the Rams, which gives the Bears a lot to play for next Sunday, because if the Bears are locked into that three spot, you know what's going to happen. They're going to pull all their starters, and that's like a cakewalk for Minnesota with that game being in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know what? With the secondary way it played last week, I want to give credit to Tim Houck, who does a great job. He's a young – remember how he was a smart player when he played. And now I think he's helped those young guys come along. And I watched Douglas tackle, and I'm thinking, man, he's a safety. He's a safety waiting to happen. And he could tackle. It reminded me of Timmy Houck.
You know what? Tim Houck is the same way as a coach as he was as a player, and doesn't say a whole lot. A lot of times you don't even know he's around.
Yeah.
But he has such great knowledge of the game.
Yeah.
And you could tell some of the things that he's teaching these young guys is directly responsible in terms of how they've improved their tackling over the last few games and positioning. But I gotta go even farther. I want to give credit to not just Tim Houck, but to Corey Unlin as well. And yeah. When Corey came here, I said Corey was one of the better defensive back coaches in the National Football League. And I think he's earned his money this year. Because that back end was devastating.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
You know, you got guys that came in the middle of the season, guys on the practice squad, guys off the street, and they took their lumps. But I tell you what, they're playing like a cohesive unit right now.
I know. Yeah. No, I look, that young, that beat up. You know, that game last week was impressive. I agree with you. I think they've been dealt. It was a tough job, and they've gotten through it because I think they're a couple good coaches back there. That's a good call by you, D-Gun.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have 2,000-yard receiver speed guys like Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, and they don't get past you and beat you for the deep ball, obviously you've learned your lesson leading up to that game. Because that's the one problem this secondary had. They would allow occasional deep pass in previous games. They didn't let that happen this game. So kudos to the guys who learned their lessons, and kudos to the guys in the back end who are coaching these guys up.
Yeah. We haven't heard the term double move in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, enjoy the game this weekend, and have a great holiday.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, man. Always a pleasure talking football with you. And, you know, happy holidays to you and your families as well.
You as well. Thanks,
Derek Gunn from Quick Slants, Eagles pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And we appreciate him joining us today. 610-632-0975.
Real quick, at 12:14, Matt Gelb tweeted this. At 12:14 p.m., Manny Machado walked into Citizens Bank Park. A construction worker yelled, quote, "Get that money."
Well, is there a Brinks truck pulling up in out front with the reverse beeping going? 610-632-0975. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've got Riled Up. We're live at Ralph's, all in advance of the Feast of the Seven Fishes, fourth annual, here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, we got a name. Call for the holiday wheel. Do I have the name, Andrew? Did that come to me? Yeah, I do. Jeff Hood.
All right, Jeff Hood, make sure you give us a call back.
Willow Grove?
The Hood.
He's got 10 minutes at 215-263-0975. Again, Jeff Hood, you got till 10 minutes. To 103 to call us back at 215-263-0975. And when you call in, we'll spin the holiday wheel back at the ranch, and you get a great prize.
That's right.
We got a special guest.
Yes, we do. We are live at Ralph's Italian Restaurant, a treasure, one of the great, great historical spots of Philadelphia, and that is Jimmy Rubino, who has what generation would you come in at?
I am the fourth generation. My brother Nettie and I are the fourth generation of the family.
It's amazing. Ish. And you're now six, right?
Yeah, well, our fifth generation is actively involved, and then my brother, I have two great nephews, my brother has two grandchildren. They will be the sixth generation that will be involved in the business at some point.
When did the doors open, Jim?
1900.
Think about that for a second. Yeah. In 1900, the doors opened, and the most amazing thing is it's such a great place. It's such a landmark of Philadelphia.
Thank you, Ant.
I mean,
it's been carried down from one generation to the other, and each generation makes it very obvious and very clear how important this is to make sure that the tradition carries on. And here we are, like I said, 118 years later, we're still doing it.
You know what you do, too? You provide an atmosphere of love.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I tell people that all the time about you could get two people to cook the same dish. The person that's reading from a recipe will not taste as good as the person that cooks from his heart. There's a difference.
No, I mean, and it's funny because Jason doesn't eat fish, disgraziato that he is.
He's eating spaghetti and meatballs right now, mind you.
But as I see it, and it's just beautiful, and I can picture your mom. I picture Elaine, who lives next door.
Next door, it's where we grew up.
You know, and I can picture her because God bless her. I saw her earlier.
Yeah,
thanks, she looks phenomenal.
Jason's doing the Feast of No Fishes.
Right now. Yeah. Yes.
The Feast of Meeples.
Is this the original floor, by the way? I look at all the old pictures and I see the same floor.
That picture right there is from the early 40s. Okay. That's my grandfather on the stool, mind you. And there was a bar on this side of the room.
Yeah.
And where you guys are sitting was actually a hallway. If you look on the floor here, you can see where it ends.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the room looks so narrow. And in the 50s, my grandfather knocked out the hallway to make the room bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that, like, I look at the floor because I love the floor, right? The floor is so iconic. And I think of Louis in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Like, I think of that scene.
Right, sure.
In The Godfather.
That's it. That's exactly what this looks like.
Right?
True. If you look at the floor, you'll see where the stools were, where the bar was. You could see
I can see the markings.
Imperfections. And it's funny because when you take all the tables out of this room, they laid these tiles one by one back then.
Yeah.
You could actually see where the contractor, the mason guy, probably got a little cockeyed from trying to put these little circles down in a pattern. He went off. You could see. And those floors are still in this floor today.
Yeah, they're size of each tile is the size of a penny.
And there's no screen like they do nowadays.
Yeah, you don't get the one by one
each
square.
One was laid one. How'd you like to be that guy? Huh?
Yeah,
that's craftsmanship.
No, it is. Well, I mean, that's the beauty of this neighborhood and the beauty
architecture
of what you kept. You know, you look at churches in the neighborhood.
Well, if I could tell you a quick story about this floor, when my grandfather died in 1971, my mom and my aunt Eleanor decided to remodel this room. You could see the way so what they did was they put a slate floor down over this floor. So for like 30 years, actually 20 years, it was covered. And then we closed one summer to remodel. And my mom and my stepfather went, Jimmy Darren's a good friend of ours. They went to spend some time in California at his house. So I oversaw the construction. So as the contractors are ripping up the slate floor with sledgehammers, I walk in from here. They have half the room done and they're swinging these sledgehammers like crazy. And I'm like, I see the floor and I'm like, I scream, stop! I get on my hands and knees because we actually ordered another floor that we never dreamed this floor would be fine on this slate floor for 20 something years. So I surprised my mom. She thought when she got home, blindfolded her. We walked her in. She expected to see the new floor that we bought to put that we put down, and here it is, the original floor from when she was a kid, and she hysterical crying.
Oh my God.
Emotional moment. So it was a
popped out to me right away as soon as I walked in. The
second floor has the same floor also.
Yep.
Same floor.
I got. I was here when I was at another radio station, and we had a food fight on your second floor.
Don't tell him that.
Well, we threw a roll or two.
Don't tell him that.
No, it was a private party.
Don't tell him about being a Gavon.
No, it was great. But I love the food here. Thank you. And you guys can keep talking.
I mean, you know, it's every day's a challenge. And I'm 57. I've been doing this my whole life, and I learn something new every day about it.
But you guys are doing some incredible things.
Yeah, we are.
You guys, across the street.
Across the street, we have Bar One, who's named after one of my partners, Anthony Barone. So we call it Bar One. It's kind of a play on it's a bar food with an Italian twist. That's doing really well. My son and his partners just opened up Market further down the street, which is across from Villa de Roma, another great restaurant, Villa de Roma. We have King of Prussia, the Rouse and King of Prussia. So, yeah, I'm at the stage. I wanted to kind of back off a little bit, and I have. But my son came in, and, you know, he's like,
doing a hell of a job.
I want to do this. Yeah, him and my daughter, they went to college. They got degrees, and they did their thing for a while, and they both said, we want to come back, and they're here. And my brother Eddie and I are blessed because we have my niece Alexis also is involved at times. She has two young kids now. But through the years, we're blessed that we have a nice younger generation behind us.
Ready to take the mantle after
me and Eddie, we're screwed. So thank God we have that next generation.
Your son's brilliant. We were talking about the virtual restaurant.
Yeah, the concept
you guys have done.
We're doing a virtual restaurants now. Which there's a company in New York that started this premise where there's no bricks and mortar restaurants. They have websites where they put these that would look like restaurant websites, and you have to have a commissary kitchen. We use our Bar One kitchen for it, and we have gravy joint and Anthony sandwiches, and you go on the websites and you put your orders in, and we have like Grubhub and Caviar deliver the food for us. So there's no actual restaurant with bricks and mortar where you can go sit down, but they're called virtual restaurants. So we're first ones in Philly to do that.
That's cool.
We have a couple more concepts we're going to be doing soon, and we're excited about it.
That's a genius idea, because nowadays everybody gets delivery. Yeah. Everybody wants to be at home.
Sure.
So, and you're not looking for something other than, you know, pizza and wings.
Yeah. I mean, that's the next wave. Thank God we're still busy. People do still want to go out, but there's nights I do it myself. My wife and I, we're retired. We'll order a delivery. And just like you know, retail stores are almost on their way out. So the internet is where people are buying now. So we had to adapt, and that's the internet concept.
Well, you know what it is? It's because people don't cook. I mean, people still go out all the time. I think people are out more now.
They are.
Than ever.
They are.
They just don't cook at home.
Yeah. Yep. Thank God. I mean, the day they start, everybody learns how to cook is the day.
You and I were talking about it. You know, when your chef who grew up around the corner, I love.
Percy Street. Yep.
You know, and
he started as a busboy. He was actually working here before he really should have been allowed. He was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny because, you know, Italians were hairy people. He had a mustache, which we got away with telling people. He's 16. He's got his working papers. Don't worry. Yeah, and then his two other brothers behind him were 11 and 10 after that. So, but no, all kidding aside, he's been around. And, you know, he went off and did his own thing for a little while. Now he's back with us. And we have countless guys. I can name guys that have been with me for 25, 30, 35 years. And we're very fortunate that they decided to stay that long.
Wow. And Jimmy, you also have your book, your cookbook.
Yeah, the cookbook's been out a while. We wrote that in the year 2000. Yeah. We hired a publicist. It was our 100th anniversary, and he came up with this idea. He's like, you know what, you guys got a great story to tell. Why don't we do like a cookbook/history book? Needless to say, we decided to do that. And it's funny because no one in my family had ever written a recipe down. So I locked myself in the office upstairs for 6 months, and I had to take with, you know, 60 quart pot recipe down to 4 to 6 servings.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a while. A lot of Tylenol and Motrin for the headaches I was getting from that. But we did it. It worked out, and we wrote about the history, about Frank Sinatra being here and stuff like that. So we're very proud of it. And it still sells well. Amazon.com has it. You can get it on our website, RouseRestaurant.com. Buy it at the restaurant. So it's still doing well all these years later. So we're real proud of it.
All right. Last thing I got to ask.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So someone walks in off the street.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to Ralph's.
Yep.
Where do they need to order? Start from an appetizer.
Okay. You start with you got to start with soup. You got to have the escarola with the pustine and the chicken broth.
Yeah, which is the greatest.
Appetizer, mussels are phenomenal. Mussels red, even white, are great. The antipasto is incredible. We use all Italian meats and stuff like that. And then my favorite, and I was just having a conversation with your friend over there, his favorite too, the veal caprichose.
I call it the
godfather of our menu. It's medallions of veal with eggplant, prosciutto, mozzarella. We bake it in the oven with a stewed tomato sauce. It's mind-blowing. It really is. That's my favorite. But there's so many. Our veal parm is like it's like gigantic. People say it's like a doormat.
It's the size of Jason.
No, not that big. But
I'm a big fan of the veal parm too.
What's that, Jack?
I like the veal parm and the veal scallopine.
Yeah, scallopine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here we are. We're still doing it.
Well, Jimmy, you have a...
Way to slow down, Jimmy.
Yeah. Wait, my son keeps me busy. I want to slow down.
You got 900 things going on.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Chef Justin has had an incredible menu.
Great menu he put
for
together.
The seven fishes.
We were going to do a more modern, as we do on Christmas Eve, we do like a more modern touch of the seven fishes because people don't eat smelts anymore and they don't eat bacala. Well, needless to say, we do, right? The kids don't.
The uncles, Greg and Paul.
Well, we know you grew up down here, so I'm like, you know what? We got to go old school with Anthony. We got to do the bacala. We got to do the schmaltz. And, you know, so that's what we're doing today for your dinner.
I love it. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks to all our customers. We love you guys. We really, really appreciate everything. Thank you for being here today.
You're terrific, brother.
All right, guys.
God
thanks
bless, man.
Thank
Very
you.
Proud of you. Jimmy Rubino, Ralph's.
Yeah, he's really slowing down, huh?
I know, right?
He's getting into the virtual world now.
Yes.
I dusted that off, man.
Oh, my God.
I crushed that.
Look at that.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking so much there.
No problem. That's where you can eat.
Let's get a spin on the holiday wheel because we were looking for Jeff Hood, and we've got him, Anthony.
All right.
He's checking in from Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, and he's called back in the allotted amount of time. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm very well, guys. How are you doing?
Happy holidays.
Same to you. On that last segment, I'm getting hungry listening to all that good food you're talking about.
Man. Well, Jeff, I got a good spot for you.
About the Ralph.
Yeah, I got a good spot for you. It's in, down here on 9th Street.
I've been there before. Good place.
Yeah, we're going to crank the wheel for you. Andrew, who's back there to spin the wheel?
We have Coach Camille spinning the wheel, fresh off of a dose of blue drink. So it's going to be a good spin.
That's good.
Sun's out, guns out?
Oh, yeah, the guns are out.
Yeah, he's got the sleeves cut off.
He's got the Argyle sweater on today.
All right, Jeff, well, Coach Camille's going to give it a good crank for you, and Andrew's going to tell you what you've won. So, Andrew, let's give it a crank. That's a good crank by Coach Camille. All right.
It's still going.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, you won Steven Singer Jewelers necklace and earrings. It is a brand new, very old Steven's heirloom cushion collection. Is brand new but inspired by 1920s jewelry. Starting at $148, visit IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
It's a big deal, brother.
Congrats.
And, add to the wife's gift. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's going to love you, bro. Jeff,
I hope so.
You and the wife and everybody with you, have a great holiday. We appreciate you listening, and congratulations.
Same to you guys. Happy holidays.
You too. Merry Christmas,
Jeff
brother.
Hood,
that's awesome, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.